You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Well, first of all, Bethel, I want to just say it's really good to be home. Bethel is truly a home to me, and I miss this place. And so I'm so thankful that Jesus has restored my fortunes and he's brought me back here. And I just want to say that all of you are my fortunes, students, faculty, and staff. The relationships I have with you are my fortunes. And I want to thank Sean and John for giving me this opportunity today to speak. You know, part of me doesn't feel worthy to stand up here. I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't know everything there is to know about the Bible. Not a theologian. I was a sinner, and now I'm a saint saved by grace, and that's all I have to offer you today. Now I want to start with our verses for this series. And in these verses, we've heard that Jesus is declaring himself to be the Messiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor." Make no mistake, when Jesus spoke these words in that synagogue 2,000 years ago, the Jews who were sitting there knew what he was saying. They knew that he was saying he was the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who had come to restore Israel, who had come to restore the world that was broken by the fall. This world that had been turned upside down, Jesus was going to turn right side up. The blind would see. The deaf would hear. The lame would leap for joy. There would be no more darkness, no more suffering, no more captivity. Jesus was going to take back the nations. They knew what he was saying when he declared himself to be the Messiah. He's the great restorer, the great releaser, the great emancipator, the great healer. And the verse I was given today to speak on was recovery of sight for the blind. Now, Jesus speaks those words prophetically because just a few chapters later in the book of Luke, we hear Jesus actually doing this, restoring the sight to a blind man. So I just want to tell that story to you. It's in Luke 18. It goes like this. As Jesus approached Jericho, there was a blind man sitting by the side of the road begging. Now, when the crowd passed by, he asked them what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked the man and told him to be quiet. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, and he ordered that the man be brought to him. And when the man had come near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man replied, "Lord, I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, the man received his sight and followed Jesus and praised God. And when all the people saw what happened, they also praised God. Now, I want to point out a few things in these verses that I think are notable. First of all, I want you to think about that blind man sitting by the side of the road in the dust, in the dark, unable to see anything. Most likely, he was an outcast, and the Jews believed that if you were blind, it was most likely because you committed a sin. So they probably were ignoring him, avoiding him. But then he hears that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is passing by. And note that that is what the crowd called Jesus. But note what the blind man called him. He calls him the son of David. And he doesn't say it just once. He says it over and over. He wants Jesus' attention. And I think it's because this blind man recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. He knew that prophecy. He knew the Messiah would restore sight to the blind. And he saw his chance. I love his tenacity. He doesn't give up. He keeps calling until Jesus stops for him. And Jesus restores his sight. So Jesus fulfills this prophecy about himself. But Jesus didn't come just to restore us physically. Now we're humans, and to be human is to have a physical body. Yes, he came to restore us, to remove physical death and to heal us from diseases and illness. But it's not just, we're not just physical. We are also spirit and we are also soul. We're told to worship the Lord our God with our heart, soul, and strength. And so Jesus came also to release us from spiritual darkness and from, at times, darkness of the soul. And so I want to address those two things with you today. First, I just want to talk about being spiritually blind. And I have to tell you, every one of us starts out spiritually blind. We're born into the world in sin, and the Bible is very clear that we are separated from God. We have a spiritual death. That's what death is, it's separation. And so we're separated by God from our sin, and we cannot see spiritual things. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. He fairly clearly lays out what it looks like for humanity in this state. He says, "As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." And all of us once lived among them, satisfying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. And like them, by nature, we were deserving of wrath. Now, these words are pretty sobering because it shows us what we are without Christ. First of all, it says we're dead. Think about a dead person. A dead person can't see. They're blind. They can't hear. They can't understand. They can't even think. So if you're separated from God, you can't see God. You can't hear spiritual things. You can't know God. That's a pretty horrible state to be in. But these passages also say that we're enslaved to the ways of the world, to sin, and to our flesh, and to Satan. And because of that, we're deserving of God's wrath. That means we stand condemned for our sin. That's a pretty hopeless state for humanity. You know, and I believe that there are probably people in this room today who are in that state. Some of you are probably sitting there looking at your phone or have your earplugs in your ears, and you're not hearing this message because you're spiritually blind. But Paul doesn't stop with those verses. He tells us what Christ has done for us. So in the next few verses, he says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us in his kindness in Christ Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." My friends, Jesus comes to set the blind, or to give recovery of sight to the blind. He comes to set us free from our slavery to sin and to the ways of the world. And he removes our condemnation by taking it on himself. And it's all by grace. How many times in those verses does Paul use the word grace? It's grace upon grace upon grace. It is a free gift of God that he makes us alive and gives us sight. Now, I want to share a little bit with you of my own story of how Jesus made me alive. I was living in darkness in a dungeon of my own creating, and I deserved God's wrath. But he found me, and he saved me, and he brought me into his life. Like many of you, as an 18-year-old, I went off to college, and I went to Ohio State University. Now, I'd been raised in a church, but I'll be honest with you, I was spiritually dead. And they may have talked about the gospel, but I don't remember learning it. And I felt like all of our salvation was based upon works and being good and doing the right things. And I had grown up in a rather dysfunctional family, and I had a lot of emotional wounds and brokenness. And so when I went to Ohio State at 18, I was far from God, and I had many idols. I'll just tell you a little bit about my life at Ohio State. During the week, I studied as much as I could, and I went to class because I felt like I had to get straight A's, because I was afraid of not being secure. I knew that when I left home at 18, I was on my own, and I was so afraid of failing that I studied all the time. So academics became an idol for me. But I also craved acceptance and belonging. I wanted to be loved. And so I was involved in that party scene that Ohio State is famous for. I'd go drinking into the clubs on the weekends. I was sleeping with my boyfriend because I just craved belonging. And I was really in a very dark place. And I can tell you the moment I completely walked away from the church. I remember it. It was a Sunday morning. I'd indulged myself in sin the night before. I was walking to church, and I thought to myself, what am I doing? I obviously don't believe all these rules that the church has. And so at that point, I walked away from God entirely. And I'll tell you, it was a moral death for me. I was a broken person. I had so much bitterness and anger and unkindness in my heart. I was not a good person. But Jesus, in his great love, chose not to leave me there. And in 1995, I went to this National Wildlife Refuge, and two of my coworkers were born-again Christians. And they started talking to me about Jesus. And I'll tell you, I was not kind to them. I mocked them. I made fun of them. I thought they were idiots. And I would say that. I mean, I was not a good person. I don't know why they loved me. But they shared the gospel with me over and over. And I remember very clearly the day that God opened my eyes. We were sitting together talking about faith, and the one coworker asked me, why did Jesus die on the cross? And I mocked him. I said, I rolled my eyes and was like, for our sins. And then he said, well, who did he die for? And again, I was like, for the world, for us. You know, I was terrible. And he said to me, who else did he die for? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, he died for God the Father. And I just sat there stunned. I was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, God's holy. He's perfect. And the wages of sin is death. If we sin, we're separated from the Father. But he loved us so much, he didn't want to be separated from us, so he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. He was the Lamb of God. That's what the gospel is. And I have to tell you, I just sat there stunned because I had never heard that before. And it's because I was dead. I was blind. And God opened my eyes. And I thank him every day for opening my eyes. A few days later, I accepted Christ, and I was never the same again. I have never turned back to my sin. I had a bottle of bourbon in my cabinet that I dumped down the drain. I was immediately transformed by the Holy Spirit. I was able to forgive people and ask for forgiveness that I really needed because I was not a good person. But Jesus, and I want to just mention the choir concert last night was amazing, and they sang this hymn, And Can It Be? And honestly, it was so amazing. I sat there and cried, and I was going to quote that hymn today. And coincidentally, they didn't sing my favorite verse, which is verse 4. It goes like this. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound by sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free, and I arose, went forth, and followed thee. That is my favorite hymn, and I'm so glad I got to hear the choir sing it last night. It's the story of my life, of Christ's redemption and his grace upon grace. I only have a few minutes left, but I want to also address this issue of spiritual darkness, or not spiritual darkness, the darkness of the soul, because I believe that there's a lot of people in here who are believing lies about themselves, that they have spiritual strongholds, lies like, I'm not good enough, I'll never measure up, I'm not lovable, God will never forgive me. These are strongholds. sent by Satan to keep us blind to the truth of Christ. And I'll just share with you how God has set me free from spiritual darkness. The darkness of the soul, emotional darkness. So in 2013, I moved to Tajikistan. And I have to tell you, every single thing about Tajikistan is different than the United States. Living in a Muslim country as a woman is very difficult. And I felt like I was under constant stress every single day to fit in and to belong in this culture that was so different from my own. Just walking out my door every day was a checklist. Is my hair right? Are my clothes right? Are my shoes clean? How do you say this in Tajik? And it was so stressful. I felt like an idiot every single day. Like I felt like a complete failure. And it was stressful. And not only that, but I lost 7 different people while I was overseas. 2 of my beloved Bethel colleagues passed away, Bob Hamm and Derek Penix. It broke my heart not to be at their funeral. And then my father passed away. And I have to tell you, I've never experienced grief like that. And it wasn't just because I lost him, it was because I wasn't there. I was on the other side of the world while my father was dying. And I felt so much guilt and so much regret over that. I couldn't forgive myself, and I knew I needed help. So I asked my company if I could go to a training where I could receive healing. I knew there'd be counseling there, and I could meet with the Lord. So they let me go. And I want to tell you, if you are suffering from any emotional pain, seek out counselors. Go to therapy. There's no shame in it. We all need healing. So I went to that training, and it was in the Black Forest. And I would climb up this mountain every day and walk to the forest and just pour out my heart to God. And he met me there and healed me of that grief and the regrets I had over my father. But a few months later, my sister-in-law also passed away. And at that point, I was really broken. I started going through what's called burnout. And burnout is not exhaustion. Burnout is actually a physiological event that takes place in your brain when you're under stress. Stress hormones flood your brain, and your emotional center starts shutting down. So I came back to the U.S. to basically recover. And for about a year, I didn't feel anything. I felt blank. And the hardest part for me was that I didn't sense the Holy Spirit. From the moment I had been saved, I had been filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't sense him. But my brain needed healing. And so Jesus sat with me for that year until I could start sensing him and feeling him again. But I knew that there were still lies in my heart that I believed. Things that were so deep that I didn't even want to confess them out loud that I needed to bring to the Lord. And really what it was this. I felt like a complete and utter failure. I'd gone overseas to be a missionary, and I just couldn't take the stress and the grief and the trials. And I felt like I had disappointed Jesus. And as a missionary, you always feel like you're never doing enough. You're not praying enough. You're not serving enough. You're not giving enough. You're not evangelizing enough. And so I knew I needed to bring this pain to Christ. And I did that during Spiritual Emphasis Week. And the Lord met me there, and he said these words to me. He said, "My grace is sufficient." And that just set me free from this need to be enough. Because I don't have to be enough. I could never be enough. There's 8 million people in Tajikistan that don't know Jesus. I could never evangelize enough. But I don't have to, because his grace is sufficient. It's grace upon grace upon grace. He merely asked us to come and abide in him. The second thing Jesus said to me was this. I forgave Peter. 3 words. Words from Jesus that set me free. Think about Peter, Jesus' best friend. He walked on water. He saw Jesus raise people to life from the dead. But when Jesus was arrested, he ran away and denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus forgave him and restored him and made him the leader of the church. Those words from Jesus to my heart set me free from that darkness I was in. And I have been made alive in him. Now I want to return to end to that story of that blind man. And that story Jesus was passing by. And that blind man wouldn't let him pass without Jesus touching him and healing him. Now I want to ask you today, what darkness are you in? Are you willing to let Jesus pass by? If you're living in darkness, if you're dead in your sins and transgressions, don't miss this. The Holy Spirit is present here, and he is offering you freedom today. He's offering you release today. He's offering you light instead of darkness. So I'm going to invite John up, and he's going to invite you to respond to this message.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.